What a week it's been as we celebrate the life and times of Virgil, rest in peace, our return to Dallas, Texas, and the deliciousness of Whataburger. We talk about weddings. We talk about shitty wrestling rings. We talk about Bebop being a ring boy for about half a second. And we prepare to see Dune 2 this week. Hope you do too. What a day. And as we record this, it is the end of February, February 28th. But this year is a leap year. And what that means is we get one bonus day of February, right? And sadly, God does not recognize that day. Because on the last day of February to God, he took away from us one of the greatest superstars that ever lived. And that was Virgil. And I see you got a sad face on for me. But I need you to know that there's only joy surrounding Virgil. And Virgil lived like a ghost. So we're going to talk a little bit about Virgil here to open the show. You may know Virgil as the $1 million man, Ted DiBiase's bodyguard. He would come out with the $1 million man. He would hold his money in a briefcase. They used to throw money out to the crowd. And he would help him hold his $1 million belt, which was three diamond encrusted dollar signs put together as a belt. And they teamed up for a good while in the 80s. And I actually read this morning that when Virgil was starting out, before he was with Ted DiBiase, he did a feud with Chick Donovan, who I wrestled at the age of 72 in Alabama one time. And to know that I got to be a part of both of their careers at some point when they started out, you know, doing these early 80s feuds together, pretty crazy. Virgil then did a lot of things. He was Curly Bill with the West Texas Outlaws, and he was, of course, one of the best NWO members that ever lived in Vincent. Because when you changed from WWF to WCW back in the day, you had to change your name a lot of the times. Like, the Earthquake became the Shark. They're doing a John Tenta episode next week on Dark Side of the Ring.
Bless you.
I have sneezies. So hopefully we get to learn a little bit more about Earthquake, who looked 100 years old at the age of 30. Incredible sumo wrestler. But Virgil also was known for a lot of his escapades post any of this career. Because Virgil would sort of do, and I don't want to use the word cockroach today, right? But there's this term in wrestling that I like to call people sort of carnival cockroaches, where like you can have whatever thought about them you want. You can have whatever feeling you want about their career, what they do, or if they annoy you, or if you wish they weren't around. But then you look at certain people and you go, you know what? You have continued showing up. You've continued getting booked. You've continued having jobs. No matter what, no matter who's in charge, no matter who's around, no matter who the boss is, because you want that fuck money. And that's what Virgil was always going to do, is get that fuck money, because he wanted to go to Olive Garden. He needed that marinara money. He needed to go to Olive Garden and get that pasta money, that endless pasta money, that breadstick money. And he would show up at all these conventions. And I don't know if he was ever really booked, but he would take that big flyer, that big banner that said, and wrestling superstar Virgil, that he clearly took from half of the Ted DiBiase's $1 million man and wrestling superstar Virgil, and he just cut it in half. And he would sit at a table, and no one would ask him to leave, and no one knew if he was supposed to be there or not. And he would convince people to give him money, and it was incredible. And the first time we ever met was at a WrestleCon in New Orleans, and we shared an elevator together. And I told you this earlier, but he came and he told me, he was asking me what I was going to be doing in New Orleans, what I was getting up to. And I kind of was, you know, expressing whatever. And he said, well, listen, if you don't get stabbed here, you're ahead of the curve. And I thought, that's crazy. And then I kind of walked around New Orleans a while and I said, I think he was onto something. I think Virgil knew that there was a lot of knife crime in the streets of New Orleans, because he was warning me to be safe. I did not get stabbed. But my crowning moment, and I tweeted a little video of it earlier with Virgil, was at Spring Break 5, which was the spring break that 440 took over, RSP Spring Break, RS Spring Break, I guess is what they called it, in Tampa. And this is the first night I ever met John Moxley. And I was talking with John Moxley, and he said, "What is your match tonight in the show?" And I said, "Well, my match tonight in the show is Effie versus Greg Iron, 440. And Virgil is teaming up with Greg Iron to be his bodyguard, like he was for the Million Dollar Man. And we have to introduce the vodka sponsor for the show and use it in the match. I had to get hit with a bottle of vodka by Virgil. And then we also had to do a turn where I threatened Virgil with scissors to kill him, but then twist, I cut his shirt off, and underneath his 440 shirt, Virgil is wearing a wrestling is gay shirt. And it all needs to be done in under 6 minutes.
Damn.
And John Moxley, I remember, said, "That's a hell of a task." He goes, "If it's even a little bit good, you're kind of a miracle worker." And it turns out it was awesome. It was very good. We did the reveal together. The finish of the match was me revealing Virgil. We teamed up, and then I powerbombed Greg Iron with his ass hanging out for the finish. And we made everything work. And there's a picture of me and Virgil together that I will post on Instagram of him in the Wrestling is Gay shirt with me posing together as a team. So it is sad to lose a legend. It is sad to know we will not see Virgil popping up anywhere. But I think Game Changer Wrestling used Virgil to the most of his ability and had him be a part of a lot of big spring break moments. I think he was on at least four of the spring breaks out of, I guess, the eighth one is coming up. So he was always someone who was around for spring break and down to be a part of stuff, revealing himself and showing up and doing double turns. So it will be sad to not have him do that. But what an honor it was to get to spend time with Virgil and to have a moment cemented in history where Virgil turned on the 440 to join up with Effie and be a gay liaison to the Wrestling is Gay empire. Did you see that video, by the way, on Twitter?
No.
Okay, well, no. Just go check that out when you have a minute. But only joy in my heart for Virgil, and very sad that he died. I think he had cancer and he was going through that, and you know, fuck cancer. But cancer doesn't win, you know, not to be corny, but the cancer's dead now, you know, he took it out suicide bomber style, baby. So I don't think there was a bomb, but you know, you get the point. RIP to Virgil, RIP to Vincent, RIP to the fuck money. And I'll tell you what, I read the news today, and I've never been craving Olive Garden more in my life. I'm so excited to go get Olive Garden. I might force AJ to go get Olive Garden with me later. Unlimited breadsticks, salad, you know.
Family.
Pasta, family. Speaking of family, guess who's back? The reports were not true, and Vin is back for Fast 11.
Okay.
They're moving forward. We don't know if it's not true, but we do know that Vin Diesel doesn't give a shit.
Okay.
And they're making Fast 11. And The Rock will be there. And we honor and respect The Rock for beating up whoever was mean to Rebecca Ferguson. Because we love Rebecca Ferguson.
No, fuck you, Jacob Tremblay.
Fuck you, Jacob Tremblay, for being mean to her. She's beautiful. Look at her bone structure. Look at her accent. She's just one of the most gorgeous accents. We're just sick of people being mean to Rebecca Ferguson. Yeah. Jacob Tremblay, it's on fucking sight when we see
you. Well, I mean, we actually do know that he did make her cry, because apparently that death scene when they were shooting Dr. Sleep, all of the adults on set were like extremely unhappy, extremely unsettled. Oh. That was one of the only things they had to cut from the movie, was they had to chop a couple seconds off of that, because their like audience were basically turning on the movie because of like how horrible this child death was.
Well, I'll say this. Children, I think this is controversial. It's better when children die, right? Because, you know, if you are an adult that dies, you have many memories with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But if your baby dies, you can make another one. Uh-huh. And they haven't experienced all the sadness and darkness of life. And so sometimes it's better when children die. Is this not the take to have today?
Sometimes Siri will just decide to start picking up on things that you say. And so my computer right now says, experience all the sadness and darkness, and sometimes it's better when children die.
Yeah, and think about this, okay? Jesus doesn't send children to hell. So if you die before you're of consensual age to accept Jesus into your heart, then you go to heaven automatically. So really, you know, it's probably better that children die. Welcome to Weekend at Effie's. This is a weekly podcast where I spill my fun, exciting adventures with my good buddy Pitar, and we talk about the world, we talk about wrestling, we talk about film. If you missed out on the minisode, which is only available to our Patreon subscribers, you missed out on a lot of exciting information. It is, I think this minisode is proof that Adderall would be beneficial to me in some ways. And if you're missing out on all the bonus content, including videos, which I'm waving at right now, we have videos, we have a dog content, we have astrological weather reports, we have merch discounts.
We have a lot of dog content coming tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Puppy content on the way. And Pitar is working on, we're going to be backloading some of our earlier video episodes to give people a taste.
That's coming soon.
It's coming soon. It's coming soon. And it's all a push to get people to support our Patreon. It's the only Effie Patreon there is. It is, you know, going over all the things you get with our Patreon, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
Yeah.
We bring the content. We bring the love. So any way that you can support is beneficial. And even if that just means rating, downloading, subscribing, following the podcast.
Tell your friends.
Tell your grandma. You know, grandma needs to know. And she'll agree with me. It is better when children die. She will agree. Because she doesn't want to die. You know?
Yeah.
Grandmas aren't, they're not trying to die.
Nah.
They're trying to hang out.
Yeah.
They're trying to see what goes on. My great-grandma, she lived from before the invention of cars to well past the invention of spaceships. And to me, I think we should allow old people to be as mind-fucked as she was. Because there's no way that's not insane. And the aliens are coming soon. And so I want, you know, I want your grandma to be able to see what it's like when they admit to us that we are livestock, you know, and they're harvesting us for our pearls. Did you know you can form pearls in your appendix?
What?
I don't know. That's what the aliens told me in my dreams.
Oh.
And that we are going to be harvested. Somebody said that, it was Mao. Japanese wrestler Mao said that corn was alien and it was introduced to us by the aliens because it's almost indigestible. It's now a fuel. It's a sugar source. It is everywhere. And we are experimentally being given the corn as a test from our alien overlords.
Interesting.
And I completely agree. I think that's great. This week, I only wrestled. Did I only wrestle one time this week? Incredible. What a moment. I needed it. And that was a return to Texas, which coming up in March, I have an incredible calendar for March that I want to go over with people. I don't ever want people to miss out on getting to see me. I will be missing from a few of the GCW shows. Not to worry. I'll be back soon. This weekend, though, GCW in St. Louis. And then I'm off to Montreal for IWS for the death explosion match. Then freelance wrestling next week. And then I'm off to Atlantic City, New Jersey for two dates with GCW at the Showboat. Then the 15th and 16th, I'm at Excite Wrestling in Binghamton, New York, and Smashmaster Wrestling somewhere in Pennsylvania. I need to see exactly where that is. Then the 22nd, I'm at Absolutely Intense Wrestling in Cleveland. Then I am over in Corpus Christi for the Wrestling Cartel, and then Inspire Wrestling in Austin, Texas. So two Texas dates coming up in the next month. I will be spending the 29th and 30th at the Squared Circle Expo and wrestling for Black Label Pro on the 29th, doing a signing all day with Ali on the 30th. Then April, it's coming. There's more shows to announce, but I will be at the Intergender Bonanza Cream Mania on the 3rd. I will be doing an official appearance at Wale Mania this year on the 4th. So shout out Wale. Thank you for inviting me and having me come to the show.
As in rapper?
Yeah, Wale.
No shit.
My boy Wale's having a party, and damn, I'm coming as an official guest.
That rules.
First announcement here. That so the graphic rules. Should be dropping soon. Then on the 5th, I will be doing two shows, one of those being Joey Janela's Spring Break 8. Then on the 6th, Effie's Big Gay Brunch 9, which it's not lost on me that obviously I work very hard, but Joey Janela's Spring Break only happens at Manias, which is great, but we have surpassed Joey Janela's Spring Breaks in the number of them that do exist with this year's Big Gay Brunch 9. And I will be on the Clusterfuck show that night, which also features the Punjabi Prison Match. Are you familiar
with
the Punjabi Prison Match? So the Punjabi Prison Match is a giant structure of layers of bamboo cage that four tag teams, Los Macizos, Violence is Forever, the Bollywood Boys, and the Fatus, Zilla and Jacob, will be entering for the championship. The clusterfuck itself is going to be the Punjabi Prison Match, and then the Greatest Clusterfuck, which is a roughly 60-person Royal Rumble-style match that goes almost 2.5 hours. Yeah. It's a crazy show. It's midnight on that Saturday after WrestleMania.
Good
so I'll
Lord.
Do my show at 11 a.m. that morning. WrestleMania will happen sometime in between there. I'm going to go to the Tokyo Joshi Princess versus GCW show, which the girls are going to be all wrestling on. And then midnight, we will have the Greatest Clusterfuck with the Punjabi Prison Match.
This just reminds me that Speedball Mike Bailey needs to do my dream match, which is him as Neo against 60 Agent Smiths.
Whoa!
I've mentioned this before.
I think you have before. I think Speedball would be 100%
about
it.
Get on it.
It makes me want to do a Speedball Twink Gauntlet, which I think
would be that's how you do it. How you do it.
The Speedball Twink Gauntlet. I am trying to find a way. I have a lot of really great matches already set in stone for the Big Gay Brunch 9, and I'm working on a few more, but I do have a lot of people asking to be on the show, and I don't really have a great spot for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I am trying to find someone to colloquially be in that position for a Twink Gauntlet or something of the sort, but I've also been given permission to create a match. This is me. I'm announcing too much too early. And really, it's not early. Like, Spring Break's already announced like 8 matches. I've announced nothing.
And it's too early. It's sold out already.
It's sold out. It really, like, I keep going, like, I have to announce stuff. And they're like, no, you for what? Like, it's sold out. It's going to trend in the nation. But I have been given permission to have a particular type of match where the winner will get to be a part of the clusterfuck.
Okay.
So by winning at the Big Gay Brunch, you are going to be on another GCW show that day.
So we're doing like a golden ticket, America's Got Talent
style. It's a golden ticket. And originally I said, Brett, I want the winner of the match to be responsible for the future of Big Gay Brunch. And he said, shut up. And I said,
you're
please.
You're trying to fully chocolate factory this shit?
I'm out, dude. I'm out. I'm see you later. I cannot.
No one has seen or heard from Effie in over a decade.
Yeah, he locked himself in the fucking bathroom. Where's Effie been? He's in that porta potty at WrestleMania. And he won't leave. It's I need to get over my stresses on it, but it takes everything out of me to book shows.
Uh-huh.
And I admit that, and I think you know that better than anyone. And I've tried to not be a dick about it, but there is no joy for me to do it. There's joy for me in making the event happen.
Can we set it up to where Bebop just clicks those speech buttons and then he decides how the matches go?
Just clicks the button thing?
Yeah.
Yes. And then I can be like, oh, I don't know why Bebop didn't get back to you. I guess he's just been busy.
He told me he wanted to be in the Twink Gauntlet, but I told him, you can't bite people, buddy.
I think he can. I think he can if he's in the Twink Gauntlet. He's been dreaming of biting a lot.
He you can't see it anymore, but I went in the mirror and I was like, I don't remember cutting myself shaving. And I go, I didn't cut myself shaving. Bebop bit me.
Oh my God, dude. How am I supposed to take you on the road as a therapy dog when you're biting
people? We almost lost both the dogs last night.
Yeah, they were going through the window, yeah?
Well, that was...
Oh, the car wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not really scared of cars, and she's along for the ride. She's like, whatever, I'll follow you, Bob. That sounds good. What an angel. They are both very precious and sweet today. I'm having a wonderful time. Don't sniff his dick. You can kiss me. Either way, I'm going to make it happen. I'm sure I will feel closer to the show that I'm happy to be there. But yeah, it's a little bit of a test. I think I'm going to be doing a signing at WrestleCon before the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. And then the next week, I go to freelance wrestling. And that's all I know right now. So please check the updated calendar. Check where I'm going to be. But this last weekend, GCW made their return to Dallas, Texas. Now, we've been to Dallas a couple times, and one of those was for the it was for the collective a few years back when WrestleMania was in Dallas, and that was the WrestleMania that I faced Minoru Suzuki. And so Dallas holds a very special place in my heart. You know, when I only have one show in a weekend, these podcasts get a little off the rails because we end up talking about everything else because I'm not really worried about getting the information out. And I went to Texas, Petar. That's where I'm at. Went to Texas. Immediately landed very early in Dallas-Fort Worth and went with Cole Radrick to immediately get Whataburger. And we went to the Whataburger in a gas station because it was the closest one. And Cole, he doesn't eat sauce.
Yeah.
So
I'm aware of this.
He just got the chicken tenders and I got, you know, when I was working at Two Men in a Truck in Florida, there was a lot of Whataburger around. And I will say, when I left Florida and moved to Atlanta and there was no more Whataburger, since I couldn't buy honey butter chicken biscuits at 7 a.m, I immediately lost like 15 pounds because they're the best chicken biscuit sandwich in the world. The chicken is good, but then it's covered in honey butter and it's on one of the best biscuits around. And their large drinks are, they physically don't fit in your car cup holder. They are so large. And this is Texas. So it's like, I think they're even larger. And I got that honey butter chicken biscuit. And I was just like taken back in time, reminded of how perfect my life was when I was at work every day at 7 a.m. and just full of honey butter chicken. And then remembering that I had to work at that job and fuck it. Never again. Never again. This is why I have miscreant hair, because I want to make sure I don't convince myself to go work at a real job. I have to work very hard to maintain looking like an irresponsible piece of shit. You know, if I want to live like this, I better keep it rolling, because if I don't, I am fucked. And I'm going to have to work for someone and take direction, and I can't do it. I just won't do it. But the reason I bring up this Whataburger is the employee at the Whataburger saw the Scott Hall sweatpants that Cole Radrick was wearing. And Scott Hall is a professional wrestler. I don't know if you're familiar. Also dead, RIP. And we just started talking about pro wrestling, but he was just a WWE fan. So he only had knowledge of WWE and was just like, oh, do you guys like wrestling? And we just had a full conversation with this guy about WWE and everything going on and Drew McIntyre and all this stuff without any knowledge that we were actually professional wrestlers. And it was kind of like the most refreshing thing possible to be like, we're just talking as fans here. Yeah. And you have no idea that we're going to go. He didn't ask us why we were in town. He just kept talking to us about WrestleMania, kept complaining about The Rock. I was coming in to mess up Cody's story and was talking about how Heath Slater needs to make a comeback because he's the only 3MB member that doesn't have a championship run. And I have a 3MB Drew McIntyre foot tattoo that I just kept to myself at that point, because I was like, I'm not pulling my feet out in the Whataburger to show this man that I have such great respect for Drew McIntyre that I have him tattooed on my body forever, for all time. And my grandnieces and grandnephews will wonder why does Uncle Taylor have such bad tattoos? And it'll be because I love this fucking business, okay? Because I love this fucking business. I care about this fucking business. Now, unfortunately, getting to a town very early, what ends up happening is you're there a little too early to check into the hotel. So we met up with television superstar Billy Starks of the Big Starks brand. She is now a full-time television superstar who still takes indie dates. And I just want to say this, all respect to you, Billy Starks. If I was getting a full salary working for Tony Khan, I would probably not take indie dates. And she then told me that the office was a little concerned. I hope I'm not getting anyone in trouble. They go, what's up with this match you have with Jimmy Lloyd? Are you going to be okay? And I said, this is so awesome, because not only are they acknowledging the existence of Jimmy Lloyd, they are also acknowledging that he makes them nervous. When in reality, like, there's no safer person to have a match with. If anybody's getting hurt, it's Jimmy Lloyd.
Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah.
You are going to be fine. And which they were. They were absolutely fine. Everything worked out just fine.
Consummate professional, Jimmy Lloyd.
The most professional. With my favorite quote, which was, I have to be careful. When I wrestle too good, it gets people signed who aren't ready to be signed. Just like genuinely concerned, like if I wrestle somebody and I really put my whole body into it and give them everything, there's trouble because they're going to look better than they actually are. And then they're going to get signed. And then NXT is going to have to pay to get them completely retrained because you saw one match with Jimmy Lloyd and the person that was in the match looked like they knew what they were doing. And they did not. So at least Jimmy Lloyd is being responsible about it and looking out for tomorrow's superstars now. But Billy Starks is great.
My favorite Jimmy Lloyd quote is, I have IBS.
Did he say that to you?
No. He said that to a Disney employee.
Oh, yeah. No, that was at the Universal Studios.
Universal Studios.
Yeah. He said he had a pooping problem and got us to the front of every ride. I just, the end quote of that day when it's a 2.5 hour line wait to get onto the Mario ride and Joey's going, I kind of feel bad, Jimmy. And Jimmy goes, you can go wait in line then. You can go wait in the line if you feel so bad. We made all our dreams come true that day. It was beautiful. And the thing is, we found out later, you don't even have to give them a reason why you need the pass. You can just say, like, you have an issue and you need the pass. But he was detailed about it because he figured if you weird him out enough, then they're just going to let you go anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
And you just want to get the interaction over with.
Yeah. Like, let's cut to the end of this. Don't ask me any questions. Give me the ride pass. So if you ever want to ride the front of every ride, go with Jimmy Lloyd. Or I guess, you know, just do what Jimmy did. It's very effective. And we wouldn't have gotten to ride nearly as many rides that day. Truly. We got to the hotel. Billy let us in her room because her room was available and mine was not. And then I said, you know what? I'm just going to give this a try. And I went downstairs and I said, listen, we're here visiting my sister. I have a room as well. I love her, but she talks too fucking much. And I just, any chance you can get me into a room would be great. And they worked it out right away. Got me in the room very, very early. Went there, hung out a little bit, and took a nap, which was phenomenal. What a move. But during that nap, I did my favorite thing to do sitting in a hotel room, which is watch Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's always on.
Which one?
We watched the first one, A New Hope.
Okay.
And then we watched the second one, The Empire Strikes Back, part of it, before it was time to go. I will say I can tell Billy Starks has been at TV because it was about like 4:30, and she was like, we have to go. And I was like, the show is at 8, Billy. She's like, we have to be at the show earlier. And then I was reminded that when you're on TV, you have to be at the show at noon.
Yeah.
To find out whether or not you're wrestling.
Right.
Let me say this once again. I think I've said this on the show before. If I'm at your show more than 6 hours, you owe me more money. There's zero reason for me to dress up to be at your show, for me to be there super early, unless I'm getting paid to be there super early. And y'all don't even know if I'm booked tonight, and you want me to show up and hang out.
Mm-mm.
Losers, the lot of them, all of them. Sorry, I'm not trying to get Billy in trouble. I'm really proud of Billy Starks. I would never take that path. It would make me, I don't want to say I would become a terrorist, but I would not be in a happy position if I had to be somewhere at noon, not knowing whether or not at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I was doing anything at all on the show. When I wanted to become a wrestler, you know what I wanted to be? A wild, outlaw, crazy person. And I wanted to be so good at my job that the only time that I'm on time or not on time is if I walk out when my music hits. And the only time I'm dressed up is when I'm in the ring having my match. And if you're worried about anything else I'm doing during the day or where I am or if I'm taking direction from anyone, you're wrong. Because I'm good at my job and I'm going to show up when I fucking want. And I'm going to leave when I want, and I'm going to do my part in the show, and it's going to be great and exciting, and the people will love it. And everything else, you better keep your goddamn questions to yourself. And sorry that that's not the future that a lot of these wrestlers are going to be dealing with. Where they go, please, sir, can I have 5 minutes? Can I please have 5 minutes on the show? I've been here since noon. I've been waiting at the catering for 3 weeks. Can I please have a spot on the show? Yeah, that sounds really awesome. Sounds like a real cool job to have. Oh, yeah. Go beg for it. Go beg for your bread, Oliver Twist. Can I please have some sludge? Can I please? It's just embarrassing that that's what this has become. That's the top notch of being a wrestler is going, please, sir, please, I would like to be on the show. Sorry for people who have speech disorders. That wasn't very kind of me. But in my head, this little begging version of yourself that sits around catering in your fucking button-up shirt and khakis trying to look professional. Ugh. Imagine dressing up so they think they have control over you before you even get on the show. It's embarrassing. All right, well, we're in Texas, and she went to the show very early, but the rest of us, us indie losers, were like, we'll get there when we get there. And so me, Cole, who else was with me? John Wayne Murdoch and Violence is Forever. We all hop in the car and sit in Dallas traffic for a fucking hour. We probably should have left early. It was very, very crazy getting 20 minutes down the road is what it should have been to the venue from right by the airport to Gilly's, which is a famous Texas hangout with a cool sign. Now, Gilly's had two events going on that night. One was MMA fights, and they started a little earlier than the wrestling show, and the other was the wrestling show. And as we pull up and I'm trying to explain, we're in the wrestling show, and she hands me the MMA poster and goes, which one are you? And I was like, no, the other show. And it's hard to be like, no, we have planned finishes, and we're trying not to hurt each other. No, it's, yes, there's another show happening here tonight. Are you familiar? And we're pulling up, and there's just like MMA dudes everywhere, and we're walking into the other part of the building. They have like the separated half. But I will say the ambulance that came later that night wasn't there for our show. Huh, how about that? Who would have guessed that you fucking idiots are actually beating the shit out of each other in terrible, underpaid loser fights?
God.
Imagine. I can't. You know, like, I understand the gladiator nature of things. Like, I'm big into the Joaquin Phoenix thing. But, like, it's 2024, and you're getting in a cage in a Texas venue really trying to hurt each other? Come on, dude. Like, has anybody pulled you aside and told you you're just a lump of meat for people to bet on? You know, you're not an entertainment factor. You're not going to be a star. You're not going to be the Iceman. What's his name? Chuck Liddell. You're not going to be Chuck Liddell. Okay. Chuck Liddell, RIP. Is he dead?
I have no idea.
Should be. Probably stupid as fuck now. I think I have concussions. Imagine if every night I got in the ring, you just punched me for real the whole time. Okay. I don't know. I'm probably not speaking from a place of power here as I fight through my concussion brain. I'm actually a big announcement today. I am starting my MMA career. I'm going to be going into the cage. I'll be the first guy to knock you out wearing pantyhose. It's going to be incredible. Got to the venue, found out I was in the first match of the night, which sounds really convenient, right? It's the first match of the night, one and done. Well, I had to hang around all night because my sister, Allie Catch, was in the main event with Mance Warren.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't leave the show and just like leave her hanging in case things get wild. And she was like, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. It's going to be okay. We're doing all right. And I said, okay. And so I just said, I'll hang to the side. So I was just hanging out with Cole and Nick Gage and Gringo Loco. And Microman, my homie Microman, incredible. Dude, he's just like the coolest dude ever. And he just, when he fist stabs you, you're just like, damn, am I cool too? Like, it's awesome. Gringo gave him a tombstone pile driver, which is where you get dropped on your head. And he only came down to like Gringo's belly button. So it didn't work, which is awesome. I'm glad he kind of, you know, I'm glad he plays along with it a little bit.
Yeah.
But he did still do some cool stuff. The people were completely into it. And it was wonderful being back in Texas. Now, end of the night, though, it was a good thing I hung around because have you ever seen, like, those garden shears?
Yes.
You know, like, they're like big, sharp scissors?
Yeah.
Well, after a long time, they're having a bull rope match. So they're attached to each other by a rope. You can watch this on Fight TV if you want. It's pretty crazy. It's time for my next physical. It's time for my next physical. I just found out. I got a text message. So you're attached by a bull rope. I'm not going to get a physical right now. Let me tell you a secret. That's not going to end well. And all that was fine. And Allie was doing really well, really badass. But then he pulled out the scissors like he was going to cut her throat open.
Uh-huh.
So I said, all right, well, let me go. Let me run out there. And then I got stabbed with the scissors by Allie accidentally.
Oh,
long story short. And then Mance took over and handcuffed me to the ring. So I couldn't like assist anymore. Like I was handcuffed to the side of the ring, which is not good. But then Allie's mom got in the ring and then she got stabbed too.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So that was not good. But, you know, we did go off the air and some things went down. And luckily, Nick Gage kind of came in and we all taught Mansur a lesson. But the real lesson of the story was that Allie's mom took her leg off. She has a fake leg. And then we beat the shit out of Mance with the fake leg, which was awesome. Now, you might be thinking, if you know Effie history, I've also had my face beaten with the leg. And at the end of the match that me and Allie had in Dallas one time, I had to kiss both Allie's boot and her mom's fake shoe of the leg to show respect, because that's a respectful way to honor someone in wrestling, is to kiss their boot, to admit that they're better than you. And that's how, you know, me and Allie really bonded more than everybody. People thought we were going to explode, but Bussy is fine. And I tried to help, and I couldn't. Luckily, Alec Price, these Boston kids, they're fucking nuts. Cole came over, and he was trying to help get the handcuffs off. And then Alec Price came over, and he keeps a lockpick in his...
Sweet, these were actual handcuffs.
Yeah.
Mance like a fucking cop now? What is going on?
I don't know. I don't even know where he got them. I don't even know where he got them.
Obviously hanging out with law enforcement if he just has access to handcuffs.
Yeah, I bet he thinks Blue Lives Matter, which let me be clear, they do fucking not.
Oh, I saw a combination Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter flag in our neighborhood last night.
What? Ugh.
Yeah.
Our landlord has the Thin Blue Line bumper sticker,
of course,
which makes me not want to talk to him ever.
I love, so he was here fixing our dryer yesterday and was here for like 12 hours again. Yeah.
This is something where you could have called someone and they would have fixed it in roughly an hour,
and
he was here all day.
When he left last night, you texted him in our little group chat, thanks for this speedy fix. And he texted back this morning a sunglasses emoji. It's just like, oh, you are a fucking idiot. You have no idea we're making fun of you.
We're making fun of you for taking 12 hours to fix the dryer. Oh, what a fucking, what a joke. What a joke it is. Either way, I mean, he does fix the stuff at least, but he demands to do it on his own. And he's 100 or 300 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
So it takes him a while to fix stuff. Like when our basement flooded and he just like was wading through the water all day. It's pretty crazy. Pretty weird. I had a dream the other night. I've been taking dream gummies again. I had a dream the other night that I came home and you were yelling because they were going to turn this under part. They were trying to build a coverage around it and it was going to be another apartment here. So we were going to have to go through their apartment to get to our laundry. And they were like constructing it, but they hadn't told anybody. So I hope that doesn't happen. But I don't know.
Weird.
Also, our neighbors don't take their trash out.
No.
And I'm not taking it to the street.
No.
I took our trash to the street and it got emptied. And I'm not taking your fucking trash to the street, you losers. Also, there was another piece of poop outside today that is not from either of our dogs. Our dogs, we clean up after.
Mm-hmm.
We pick up the poop. Mm-hmm. You have bags. They're
cheap. Two seconds?
Two seconds. It's incredible. It's annoying. We finished the show. Finally get out of there. Sadly, it took me a while to do merch. If you miss me at merch, I'm sorry I wasn't out there until, you know, very late. Also, new items are up on effielives.com. They will be up later today, but I'm imagining by the time they hear this, they are up on the site. A lot of Philadelphia-themed merch for the Mania season coming up. And a new Bussy shirt that I'm very excited about. We're doing a Stussy rip.
Okay.
But it says Bussy. But it's the Stussy logo. Is it Stussy or is it
Stussy? I think it's Stussy.
No, it's Stussy now.
Stussy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me guess. You play with your wife's pussy? Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you fucking play with her pussy. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it Bussy? Is it Pussy? You know, figure that out. We finished the show and everybody's... I loved that I'm in the middle of merch and Violence is Forever is like, we're ready to go whenever. And I'm like, just let me finish my merch. Just let me sell some merch. But it was lovely seeing a lot of the fans I haven't seen in a while in Texas. And I'm very happy to be going back to Texas more this year and that things have worked out to make that happen. And I'm sorry I'm missing a few of the GCW shows, but I need to be out there seeing the rest of the indies. I need to see what's going on. I need to be on the ground floor doing RCW a few weeks ago and doing a seminar there. I was very excited to just sort of see how, you know, the indies are on the come up. I don't ever want to be removed from what the next thing in wrestling is. I always want to be paying attention to what's on the come up. And so I'm going to get out there and just see what's going on. Plus, I got to be on a poster for AIW with Demolition, and they look like gay leather daddies because the people in the 80s designing the costumes were into the gay culture. Mm-hmm. And so this is just like two 60-something-year-old men who wear face paint, who wear leather like harnesses that are on the same poster with me. And it looks fucking real gay and exciting. We left the show. And of course, what's open? The only thing that's open, Whataburger.
Whataburger.
But the first one we went to said it was 24 hours. It was not. It was closed. So I said, guys, we're going to another 24-hour Whataburger. And I once again was reminded of why it's not good for me to live near a Whataburger, because I got a double Texas patty melt, I got French fries, we got wings, and I got my favorite item, the cinnamon roll from Whataburger.
Ooh.
Holy shit. It's so big and fluffy and the frosting and deliciousness. And we went back and hung out a while. And this was now going to the airport, my first time getting to be super fucking premiere. Well, I guess second time. I did it in Atlanta, but this was my first time like heading home, seeing how it went using Clear Plus PreCheck.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And the best part was I put my bag through, and not like there wouldn't be any issue with the bag anyway, but you know the meme of the kid sitting next to the computer like doing a thumbs up? The guy that was watching the x-ray was clearly like pretending to watch the x-ray, because it's like, you have Clear and PreCheck. Like, I really don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And was just going, nodding his head, just like, no, yeah. And you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. Which, like, what have I been doing my whole life? Why did I wait so long to get PreCheck? It's insane to me. One time I was in the car with Ricky Morton, and I was telling him about PreCheck, and I still didn't have it. And then he called Robert Gibson, his tag partner from the Rock and Roll Express, and said, Robert, they got something. It's only $85 and it lasts 5 years. And you just walk right through. You don't take your shoes off and you don't have to go through the big x-ray. And he said, why would I pay extra money to go to the airport? And that was his answer. And I think that stuck with me a little too long, because now the others had to go wait in the line and go through regular security, which really wasn't that bad. But I walked a little further down and I went through Clear PreCheck and I felt like a celebrity. I felt like a celeb just walking right through. Got on that plane and luckily Manders and Sawyer were on the same flight as me back to Atlanta. And instead of having to take a Uber or take the MARTA, which MARTA, go fuck yourself, because starting in April, the airport MARTA station is closed for 6 weeks minimum. And someone was like, well, you can still take it to College Park and take buses. Excuse me?
You were taking a MARTA bus?
Yeah, I'm not taking
Add
a MARTA
two
bus.
2 hours to when you need to get somewhere.
Yeah, no chance I'm taking a MARTA bus. So I just want to let all the promoters know there will be an additional fee added to all of my dates past April, because I have to pay for an extra Uber now. And you know what? For a long time, I've kept things low, using MARTA as much as I can, but you can fucking give me $30. I don't give a shit.
It's like, you know, have you ever dealt with B&H in New York?
What is that?
The big photo video
store. Oh, yeah.
They're closed every third day for some random holiday. That's exactly how MARTA is, where there are just exceptions for everything.
Yeah. Or they'll run the north and south on the same track and not tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, when is this one coming? And it's like, oh, it's been coming. You were looking at the wrong track, which is the correct track, because they didn't tell you. Get it together, MARTA. Get it together. Came home, and luckily Manders drove me back here in the truck. Got to see the dogs. And I got a Saturday and a Sunday off.
Yeah.
Which, like, once again, it's that thing where you're like, oh, I'll get so much done. I have time off. And your body like knows like, oh, you're not doing anything now. You're done. Mm-hmm. And just like comas you. So didn't get anything done. Had big plans to get stuff done. Big, exciting plans. Finally, this week, sent the messages I needed to send and got the answers I wanted. But things got put off for a long time. And I'm fine. It's fine. You're right. It's fine. And you know what? Last year in February, I took 3 whole weeks off. And this week, I mean, this year, like, I was still like, oh, it's a little slow, like, whatever. Still far busier than it was last year. And I feel healthier and better and in the zone. And you know what? Did I go to the gym? A little bit. Am I going to go to the gym more? Yeah. But I think I also am in the position of the end of the hibernation, really. Because once March starts Friday, it's a pretty hectic schedule till well past Labor Day, you know? So I think taking as many of these moments to just chill and be in my zone, you can't be mad at it. You got to just accept that you're not going to be productive all the time. Your room's not going to be perfectly clean and organized all the time. Yeah. You're not going to be on top of everything. And that's just A-okay. And it's fine.
It's all good.
We're going to be fine. I made it home. I'm excited. Going to St. Louis Friday. Going to go to Montreal. And going to bleed a lot in Montreal. So pray for my safety. I've heard rumors of what's happening in that match. And it sounds fucking psychotic.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember last time, though, Manny was like, if I come with a chair, put your hands up. And I was like, okay. And then he came with a chair and I didn't. And I just let him whack me with a chair. He was like, you got to put your hands up. And I was like, I'm not a fucking loser. I think I might put my hands up this time. Just reasonably not feeling like any more head trauma this month is good.
No.
Are we being questioned this week?
Yes. Yes, we are.
I love it. Thank you for your questions. They come from our Patreon subscribers only. And if you want to ask us questions, get on the Patreon. And if you think you're better than the Patreon, you're wrong, because it will enrich your life. It will make you happier. You will get the episodes early and you will be feeling like you're doing the real support.
Okay. This first question is from Julie. Have you seen the trailer for Boy Kills World yet? If yes, thoughts?
Yes. Very excited. Looks super campy, super violent. It's the year of Bill Skarsgård. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some people are mad about his
Nosferatu.
Yep.
Boy Kills World.
Yep.
At least.
Yeah, at least three. He may show up in another one. We don't know. People are mad that his crow doesn't have long hair. I'm gonna trust Bill Skarsgård. I'm gonna let him be his own crow.
I think he's the best crow because he's alive.
Oh, Brandon Lee's dead, bitch. How about that? Yeah, the people are like, Brandon Lee's the only real crow. Guess what? The only reason y'all think Brandon Lee is so cool is because he didn't spend the next 10 years making shitty B versions that played off the popularity of him being the crow.
Yeah.
All right? You went out on top, okay? And Sting's last match is coming up, and I just want to say that once Sting has his last match this weekend, he will be stung.
Like police Sting?
No. Like Steve Borden.
Like tantric sex Sting. The man they call Sting.
After the Crow movie came out, he was convinced to change his look to that of the Crow.
Huh.
And so he, for 2 years, hid in the rafters.
I've never seen the Crow.
What?
I've never seen the Crow.
What?
Never seen it.
Very good. It's we can watch it.
Okay.
It's on Prime.
Okay.
It's very good.
Well,
but yeah, Sting based his whole character in wrestling.
Gotta watch Roadhouse.
Yes. And Gyllenhaal's not going to yell at you. It might have been Gyllenhaal yelling at Rebecca Ferguson. We don't know. I'm a big fan of Jake Gyllenhaal, but if he's yelling at Rebecca Ferguson, friendship ended.
There was some, I don't remember what it was. There was some old Gyllenhaal movie that popped up on Mubi where it was like pre-Donnie Darko, like just when he was real, had real twink energy.
Like a teen.
Yeah. Ooh.
19 is twink energy.
Yeah.
How old was he supposed to be in Donnie Darko? Like 15?
You're right.
Yeah, he's like a kid. So like, I don't.
Okay, this is from Auntie Collins. Here's a wrestling question. Which wrestler's parents would make a kick-ass wrestler? My money is on Mama Catch.
I think Mama Catch is a top of the list wrestler. She really, like, she knows her shit, and she was prepared to do whatever it took and was not scared to get stabbed by scissors in the head. So I have to say, pretty tough. I will say, I think Billy Stark's parents, Mouse and Rebecca, would be a great tag team. I was reminded of how many wonderful seminars they put together during COVID, how much they care about wrestling, and how quick Mouse and Rebecca are to threaten to beat your ass if you're messing around. So I think they would be great as well, Billy Stark's parents. And obviously, Brogan Finley's dad is Fit Finley, and his name is Finley, and he likes to fight. So clearly, he comes from a history of wrestlers. His father's a proven wrestler. I would not mess with Fit Finley. I'm sure there's a lot of other great answers here and a lot of other wrestling parents that would do well. That I can't think off the top of my head, but I think that's a good little trio of parents to start with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's phenomenal.
Okay. I turned down a job where I would be paid in vegetables. The salary was unacceptable.
God damn it.
Thank you, Heather. Incredible.
You're going to make me lose my mind. I love it. As long as the dad jokes keep connecting to my brain, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Could I do well in the SAT? No. But will I laugh at the salary reference? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely I will.
Okay, this is another one from Auntie Collins. I need advice. My fiance and I are eloping in a month.
Congrats.
My mom is asking questions, but I don't want her to be involved on my wedding day. My brother is flying in. What is the least dramatic way to tell my mom I don't want her involved on my day at all?
Ooh, the least dramatic way. Part of me thinks you just got to peel the Band-Aid, because in 10, 20 years when you're living with your, you know, significant other, you're going to be not necessarily remembering the time you had to tell her no, but you're going to be remembering if you didn't and she got involved with everything.
Yep.
And ruined the day for you. So it's almost like I suggest having the discomfort now versus living with choosing not to make it a little uncomfortable at this moment. And now your big moment has that stain on it kind of the whole time.
Yeah.
Sadly. And that is a little dramatic, but it might be the only solution.
But it's the no matter how well you are able to package the information, it's still not.
It's not going to go well either way.
It's not going to go well either way.
Yeah.
If anything, let me tell you, just give you a bit of my experience as a wedding photographer, just to encourage the decision being made. One of the last weddings that I shot, really expensive wedding venue. They basically paid for, you know, all the like
bells and whistles.
Yeah. You know, premium everything through, and like somewhere that I shot frequently enough to know, like, y'all spend extra money on all of this shit. Got through the entire day and everything. Took the couple out for one more portrait session. Get done with the photos. The bride pulls me aside, looks me dead in the face, and goes, "This wasn't for us, was it?" And I was just like, "Nope, it certainly wasn't. It was for everybody else." And she didn't really say anything after that. It was just disappointment, and you could feel the disappointment. And there was no way to push or move that feeling anywhere. Yeah. It was just like,
it sat in the room.
Like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. Mm. And there was a lot of weddings that I shot like that, where it was like everything literally would have been perfect except if your parents were here, you know?
I found out, I hope my mom is listening to this episode. I pretty much found out my parents were getting divorced at my brother's wedding. That was like, that was a real interesting day. I got to tell everybody. But you know, it's your wedding. You got to make the most of it. Also, I remember when my aunt and uncle got married, the wedding almost got ruined by a raccoon because it ran onto the beach and tried to run up her dress. And there was like a big kerfuffle about that. So very interesting stuff. Whatever happens
Sorry,
on your wedding day,
it's real.
Yeah, it's real. Yeah, I was in Key West.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a wild time.
learned
a lot that weekend. It's your wedding. It's going to sit with you forever. And,
It's your wedding. Your wedding.
Yeah. Recently, AJ's told me he's not going to have a wedding if we can remain domestic partners and marriage isn't real. So I think we're okay right now. But it's going to save us a good bit on the wedding expenses. I don't think he liked that I said that we should be selling tickets to the wedding. This is an event. We should be selling tickets. I saw another wedding recently that was like, they were charging everybody $40 a head to come to the reception instead of asking for gifts.
Uh-huh.
Loved it.
Uh-huh.
Because here's the thing. I'll pay $40 to be at the reception with people who are also willing to pay $40 and not the people who weren't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like...
Yeah.
It keeps the riffraff away. Also, I don't think children should be at weddings.
No.
But I do like when you dance with the kids, you know, like I was dancing with my niece at one wedding and there was a great picture. It does well on Instagram, but I don't like being around them very much. And all, you know, it's, they don't understand.
No. Yeah. It's, if like, again, deeper in the, I would go to these stupid fucking wedding industry meetings and, you know, like professionals in the industry, you know what the majority of those meetings were about? How to drain more money out of people getting married.
Yeah. We're taking you at your emotional fragility because of your love and trying to squeeze all the money out of you.
It's like, you know, they would blast stuff around like, you know, this percentage of couples go over budget. Here's how we help you help them go over it. It's just like, good Lord.
I do think Lucy would make a really good flower girl.
I think she would too.
And I think Bebop as a ring bearer would be hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's no way he would give the ring back over.
Sorry. One more wedding story just to tap all of this out. Some of the best weddings that I went to and then photographed were over the pandemic, where it was, you know, 8 to 10 people, close friends and family, you know, really small events where it was very personal, very particular. And I had one of those that honestly would have been a perfect day the entire way through, except they let their parents use their preacher, who used that opportunity to talk about how marriage is between a man and a woman.
Oh.
And then went down that road for about 20 minutes. And they're just like, dude, there's 8 people here. Like, who's this?
I don't think you're convincing
anyone
here. Who is
this for? Like, good Lord. So it's like, even when you isolate it down, parents can still come around and like fuck everything in the end. So.
Yeah. Auntie Collins, we love you. And I hope your wedding is phenomenal, and I hope that you can peel this band-aid, because it's your day. It's y'all's
exactly
day. It's about your love, and if that's going to make your day better to not ever involved, I pray that, you know, you get the strength to push it away. I will also say, I do weddings. I'm hesitant on suggesting me to do your wedding because it's expensive, and like I said, I don't want you to have to lose all your wedding day money on me, because you got to pay me a lot, you got to tip me, you got to let me come to the reception. You know, there's a lot of costs associated, but if it really is in your dream, I will do your wedding, legally speaking. I know how to fill out the forms, too. I handle everything. I take it to the courthouse. I do it all. Magic.
You asked me the other day, what's that thing where they do the stamp and you sign?
Yeah, notary. I had to get something notarized, and I went to the lady at UPS, and she said, you need a notary? And I said, yes. And it was the fourth UPS I went to. Like, this took most of my day Monday doing this.
God.
Which, like, fuck the reason I had to go do a notary. I don't know if you saw the documentation, but I'm sure we went over it somewhat. We will win our case. I'm not scared. Has your art ever been so dangerous that you get sued for being an outlaw artist? Okay, whatever. I'm not going into detail here. I can't legally. But I said, how much does it cost after she notarized it? And she said, $2. And I gave her a 10 and I said, keep the change. I was like, $10 is at least the amount you would have to pay to notarize. No, $2 she charged.
Wow.
So I tipped her big.
Wow.
You should always tip. I learned that from Casino. I discuss that a lot. More questions?
One more question.
Sick.
Okay, this is from Arlen. Effie, I'm just a fan, Mark, whatever you want to call it. Even though I love that Dallas show and hope you guys come back sooner than 2 years, buddy, where did they find that ring? Not going to lie, a little concerned for the wrestlers safely. Hopefully again in 8 months you'll be back.
We are coming back in June to
Even
Dallas.
Sooner.
And I think we will be getting a new ring. I do want to say, in indie wrestling, I love the different venues we can wrestle in. It makes me feel like we're in Def Jam Vendetta. There's always a different background. There's always a different view. I think back to during COVID when we had the show on the boardwalk and you could see the ocean and the helicopters in the background. Like, it felt very Street Fighter, kind of like Tekken-y. But when we go into town, the same way, like if we were a touring band who borrowed equipment from the venue or something, we are getting someone else to bring the ring. So you don't always know what kind of ring you're going to get. And that means size. That means stiffness. That means ropes. I went to the top rope, I think, twice in this match. And both times I was like, I might die. It was very scary. And you can't always guarantee the ring you're going to get. And you're right. It was very dangerous. I was glad I didn't have to go on the top rope as much as, like, say, a Gringo Loco did during the show. But every time I went up there, I was like, oh, my God, this is not good. It's scary. You make do with it. You give the people the show they came to see. But also, yeah, you're right. That ring was a little bit dangerous. I'm hoping we make some ring changes for Dallas in the future. But if we don't, you know what? I'm going to make the most of it, and I'm going to use the ring. But, yeah, I was scared. I was frightened. And you don't know. I don't. This is going to make people think I'm a diva. I don't get in the ring until my match, which I should, like, go test the ring out and feel it out. But also, like, I don't like calling in the ring because it makes people start thinking of stuff that they want to try. And I don't think when we're doing the performance, it should be try mode. It should be like, what are the things that you do well? Mm. And when we're in the ring calling it, people get excited and want to do things, you know, that they maybe wouldn't have called if we were just to the side going, hey, what are you going to do in this match? Right. What are the things you already know if you're not in a ring thinking about it? But yeah, the first time I got in the ring was when I entered the match. And boy, really changes the way you're going to handle everything. I think it was of a larger size. Like, I think it was at least an 18 foot, which is nice. I watched a match Monday on the stream that was in one of those 14 foot British rings. And you're just like, they hit the ropes and then they're on the other side of the ring. You know, like it can be a little confusing to figure out what ring you're in, but we made it work. We were safe, and luckily we are adaptable. We make that happen. You know, the TV stars, they work the same ring every night. They work the same ropes every night. They work the same, you know, size every night. In wrestling, where I am, it takes the adaptability, and sometimes the ring is not perfect. I also have worked much worse rings. One time I worked a ring that we were in a 6-person match in Georgia somewhere, and the ring was being held up on one side by a car jack, and we were told to be careful and not hit the ring too hard because it might collapse.
Oh my God.
And you know, the professional in me now says don't get in that ring, but back then I wasn't quite as over as Effie is now, and I did my best to have that 3-on-3 match with the carjack holding up side of the ring. So it could be even worse. It could be much worse. I've wrestled in worse. I've wrestled in rings where the ropes have snapped. I've wrestled in rings where people have fallen out of them because they've broken. I've wrestled in rings that are very painful to fall on, or the boards are coming up. Yeah, it's a guessing game of what kind of ring you're going to get out there. And God, you just got to be ready for anything. There's no more adaptable entertainer than the indie wrestler who has wrestled all over the world, because there's no way to predict what you're going to get. And we got what we got.
Shit.
Shit. What a time. WeekendAtEffies.com. Sign up for the Patreon. Thank you for supporting us. And we'll be back next week, as we are every week, because there's always a new weekend at Effies, right? And that's it. That's it. Go see Dune 2 and watch Rotting in the Sun.